Welcome to Education, Leadership, and Beyond, Surviving and Thriving. My name is Andrew Murata, host of the show, and it is show number 228. Good afternoon to you, November 15th, 2022. Proud member of the Education Podcast Network, Voice Ed Radio Canada, wherever you are taking in your podcast. We appreciate you being fans of the Education, Leadership, and Beyond podcast. And pumped to be on with you. Thanks for tuning in. If you're live watching the show, jump in the show. We love to have the guests be part of it. Ask a question. Ask a question to our superstar guest today. Pumped to have Dr. Brandon Beck on. His title, he's doing so many things, I can't put it in there. But he's a coach. He's an author. He's a presenter. He's a speaker. He's a motivator. Really excited for him. And I love his book. I want to apologize now. I left the book home this morning. I'm at the home, the work office here, and I left the book. But we're going to talk to Brandon about leadership and unlocking unlimited potential. What a cool saying. What a cool mindset. What a cool name of the book. And certainly going to talk to Brandon about that. Again, if you're tuning in live, jump in the show. We'd love to have you. I do want to thank today's sponsor. It is holiday time. We are approaching Thanksgiving. Some people already think it's Christmas. They were singing Christmas music at Halloween. Brandon, I don't know if you're one of those guys that are playing Christmas music in October, but we're at the holiday time. And what better than to bring cookies to somebody? Havesies Cookies is our today's sponsor. That discount code is Murata15. Brandon's got some people in his home and some little people. We're going to send him some cookies. Havesiescookies.com. Fantastic. They're vacuum sealed when they ship. And they're from New York, Brandon, and they're phenomenal. So check out the discount code Murata15 and get your Havesies cookies shipped direct to you. All right, the opening concept here, show number 228, gratitude, gratefulness. Again, we're on the verge of Thanksgiving. It's that time, it's the holiday time, it's getting cold. People coming together again, right? We're not separated by COVID anymore. And just that concept of being grateful. Being thankful for the people you have in your lives, the jobs you have, the opportunities you have, and just one little thing, starting your day with gratitude, starting your meetings with gratitude, starting whatever it is that you're doing. Take 1 minute, just 1 minute, and write down three things, three people, three things that you're grateful for, right? What are they? It brings it to top of mind. It brings people, your relationships with them, to top of mind. And, you know, you can reach out to those people. Hey, was just thinking about you. Wanted to thank you. This is that time. It's all the time we want to do that. But especially now, being grateful and thankful for those people, those things you have in your lives. And I'm grateful that I got to connect with Brandon Beck. Let's bring him in the show. To hear from him and all the work he's doing. Brandon, welcome to Education, Leadership, and Beyond.
Oh, man, it's a pleasure to be here. Really appreciate it.
I'm excited to talk and, you know, let's start there, Brandon. We're going to get to know you over the show, but tell me about your practice of gratitude here on the doorstep of Thanksgiving, some of the things that you're grateful for in your life.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that because I actually did a gratitude walk this morning with a group of students. So I happened to bring my dog to school. It's part of a whole crazy story, but the whole thing is about 4 years ago. I contacted and ran into an organization that helps put shelter animals in schools. And it's evolved into an amazing program. And we have a program that meets before school, and the students come, and it's the morning, and it's a little bit different than just come in and like having like a project or something to do. We kind of, you know, we walk through the social emotional learning piece because the curriculum's connected to that. It's called Mud Agrees. It's actually a free curriculum that anybody can download. You do not have to even have dogs present in the classroom. It's just connected to animal emotions. So it's an amazing organization connected to Yale School for the 21st Century. But the long answer of all that is in this morning's program, you know, I went for a gratitude walk with the kids, with the dog. And there was about eight of us, and we were going, they love to go out and go for a walk and have a chance to hold the leash. And I have a 20-foot leash, and they, you know, it, they looked at me and I said, well, before we go on this walk, you know, we can't really talk about anything until you just tell me one thing that you're just grateful for. And they kind of looked at me and they were like, oh, we got to do that the whole time. But it was like, Art, just tell me one thing. And so I think just getting people to do that. And I know that that's a, you know, I'm a huge John Gordon fan. And that's something, you know, that he talks a lot about, is just taking a gratitude walk, finding a time in your day to do it. And if you can find a time in your day to do it with students, it's actually even more cool.
Awesome, man. Here we go. Storyteller, your experiences, and what a great way to connect. This is Dr. Brandon Beck, author, coach, life coach, teacher, professor, doctor, and my paisana, New Yorker. Excited, Brandon. You know, I see your flag behind you, USA.
I know you're World Cup, baby.
Start. I know you're a soccer guy. Let's start there, man. Tell me about what soccer has meant to you in your life and how that plays a role in all the work you're doing now.
Yeah, absolutely. Coaching was my gateway to education, to teaching. If there was anything I was thinking about when I was going in and making the decision to go into education, it was, how can I continue to coach? I was fortunate when I was about 14 years old to be working, have been working with a professional goalkeeper coach, because I was a goalkeeper. So working with a really, really great professional goalkeeper coach, who had access to running camps and clinics and kind of slowly mentored me and brought me in on that level. And I was hooked. I loved coaching players because it was just teaching in the form of all of my passion, all of my love, all of my heart for the game. I grew up on the sideline. My father was a soccer coach, and I grew up as a ball boy on the sidelines of his field. Me and my brother and I, we both played college soccer. I went on to college soccer, played for Keene State College in New Hampshire. In our senior year, we were number 7 in the nation. We were number 1 in New England going to the NCAAs. Wow. And I played in the NCAA tournament. We were number 1. We were planned to have the whole tournament at our home field, which is like unheard of, like all the way up to the Sweet 16s of the Division III NCAA tournament. This was something that never happened before in our history. Incredible season. And I played the worst game of my life. I made a mistake in the game that cost a goal. It didn't lose the game, but it cost a goal. And I had professional scouts there. I had professional scouts there that were looking at. I was thinking about going that route. And that one mistake that I made just kind of just ruined me on that moment, on that day. And I just didn't feel like I played the greatest game after that, and led to more mistakes, et cetera. And I know I wasn't, you know, looking back on it, I know I wasn't the real reason that we lost the game, but we did. We lost the game to the team. A team that came from nowhere, middle of nowhere, Geneseo, New York. And they were coming in as an out bracket win in, and they ended up going and running all the way to the semifinals, which was incredible.
Wow.
But the point is, it's really crazy how soccer has taken on such a part of my life, because after that, it was kind of with the scouts, it was, they're not really interested. And you could try and continue and do this, but for some reason, I was just in that part where I was about to start student teaching the following semester. And I just started to see, all right, what am I going to do now? I was moving from upstate New York, about 3 hours away from where I live now, to Westchester County, where I live now. And I was just trying to figure out what I was going to do. And I wanted to do something with education. And on graduation day, I received a phone call. I was literally standing in my cap and gown, ready to go out to graduation. And they said, well, hey, you know, a position opened up. Are you interested in being the coach at Briarcliff Manor High School? And I was like, I have no idea where that is, but I'm coming to Westchester. And so I would love to learn more about it. And eventually ended up taking the job. And I'm in my 18th season right now, and just finished probably what I will consider, and I do say this a lot at the end of the season, but I will say I do consider this to have been my best season ever.
Wow.
As a coach. And it's just kind of all came full circle moment this year in ways that I can't really comprehend all the time. But I know that that day that I was sitting there and I made that mistake in one of the most important games of my life, like, it finally made sense to me why my calling led me to coaching and teaching. And I finally realized what happened. And to make matters even crazier, is the goalkeeper in my game of our sectional final this year. We were number one in the state going in. We were number one in the section. We were unbeaten. We hadn't lost a single game all season. We went into the sectional finals. We played the number two team. They played incredible. It was an incredible game. It was a tug of war, a battle. You would never have, just an unbelievable game, 0-0 all the way into overtime. But at one point in the game, my goalkeeper made a mistake that he doesn't normally make. And dude, it was literally the same mistake that I made in my game.
Wow.
And their guy was there to kick it. And what he did is he put it over the goal. And I couldn't relate to anybody about it on the sideline because nobody really knew that story about me. But looking at it right there, and I was like, we're going to win this game. And it was just... And we did. We went into overtime, sudden death overtime. And, you know, the guys are dying. I got guys that are just exhausted. We've been playing day after day after day, hard game after hard game. We've been the number one seed now. We've been the unbeaten team for, you know, 14, 16, 17 games straight at this point. And everybody had given us everything they got. And I looked at the guys at overtime and I just said, guys, we just need one chance. We just need one chance, one shot, one corner kick, one direct kick, one set piece. We need one chance. And 4 minutes into overtime, we got a corner kick. And my guy just pulled back, popped up in the air higher than he ever jumped before, put it in the back of the net, and it's sudden death. So the game's over.
Oh my God.
Interrupted. I mean, and all of our fans were there in Halloween costumes. It was unbelievable.
Wow. So
that's how it led me into education. That's a reminder of why just being able to use both pieces as a coach, being able to use both pieces as a teacher. I'm heavily into coaching education. I'm also a United States soccer instructor for the United States Soccer Federation. So I also give licenses. I probably give about 200 licenses a year to people at the grassroots level who are starting to take their initiative into the coaching licensing thing.
Yeah.
And so I see the curriculum on both ends, and I see how instruction is facilitated through play, and I see how it's experiential learning, and it's all embedded into the curriculum of which we use to teach soccer players. And so I love to be able to create curriculum and education for soccer programs. But I also, in addition to that, also have this teaching where I am also a national board certified teacher and a speaker and an author. And being able to connect them has been really amazing because schools have been reaching out and colleges and sports teams. And this is something that I never really thought that this work would be taken into.
Wow. Brandon, that's an amazing story. You're there from that opportunity. How would you say you're using your experience as coach, you know, coaching into the work you're doing, coaching adults, leading people in the work you're doing? How would you say you use that experience?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the same way that we develop goals for our groups collectively, that collective efficacy piece, the same way that we're developing them for a group, we can't have any goals unless we have goals as individuals. So there's the whole piece about that results-based performance. You know, I'm really, when I'm working with a lot of adults and educators and my friend and awesome colleague, Dr. Darren Peppard, we run a coaching organization where we have clients that are coming to us that are looking to do different things to advance their career, whether it be edupreneur, whether it be getting a doctorate, whether it be, you know, becoming an author and writing that book, whatever it is. It always, no matter what anybody wants to do, no matter what profession anybody is in, and really from, you know, young adult to adult, it comes back to one thing at a time. How do you take one thing at a time and take it into fruition? Because if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And so being able to plan is the reason that a lot of us don't accomplish our goals. And so it comes back to that piece. It comes back to, you know, as I go into coaching a game, I go into a game, we have a scouting report. We've had a video analysis session. We've talked about what are we going to do as a team when we go onto the field? What are our individual roles and what are our collective roles? In life, it's the same thing. When I go into my life and I want to create and identify and create consistent success, it takes habits. It takes consistency. And what does it mostly take? Hard freaking work. Because at the end of the day, it's really, really hard to wake up every morning and punch back positively sometimes when the going gets tough after you've gone through a time where you've been an educator in the pandemic and you've had to experience those moments and you've had to sit through the things that you've seen and the things that you've seen in people's houses and the things you've seen on the camera and just the change in connection of people and individuals and students and how there's that inconsistency for some of them and for many of them because they just haven't had that ability to connect socially. There's like almost like that small gap in their life where they had to change the way they connected socially. And that had a massive impact that we as educators are all dealing with. And so no matter what it is to keep going, no matter what it is to keep moving forward, to stay positive, it takes hard work. And in order to have to align hard work with results, you have to create a consistent planning structure and you have to have a plan for action. And that's kind of what I believe to be the truest of how to find and unlock your unlimited potential in all who you are.
There it is. Unlocking unlimited potential. We're going to get to that. Where did it come from, Brandon? Where did that concept come from? Right, we've heard the term, get unleashing your potential, but that unlocking unlimited, right? If you could keep rolling, tell me about the development of that concept, which then led you to the book in 2020, right?
Yeah. So I started out as, you know, I had work from a dissertation that I wrote in 2017 that I had always taken bits and pieces of. And I said to myself, I'm going to do something with this. I'm going to utilize this work in the book because we all know a dissertation isn't the greatest thing to read because it can be quite a snore fest. And so I wanted to use pieces of the dissertation to impact the work going forward. And in order to do that, I needed to look within and look at the bigger picture. So my dissertation happened to actually be about how do teachers feel about their preparation to teach language learners? So there's a deeper story behind that, but basically I'm a monolingual, bilingual educator in my school district. My school district is roughly about 60% Hispanic Latino. And I have kids in my class who range from who came to school in the country 1 month ago to kids that are at an eighth grade reading level in fifth grade that are 10 years old. So a wide range of students and a culturally diverse group of students. And I teach in a dual language program. And I teach them English, and then in the afternoon, they're in Spanish, and I have a different class in the afternoon. Ooh. And so the concept has been built out since they were in pre-kindergarten. It's an awesome thing. When the opportunity was coming into fifth grade, I thought it was the greatest thing ever, and I couldn't wait to be a part of it. And I was like, oh my God, I got to get to the meeting early. I got to raise my hand high into the sky. And all of a sudden they announce it, we're blah, blah, blah. We're going to have a dual language program. Is anybody interested? And I'm like, whew, shot my hand up in the air. And I turn around and look, and there were no other hands in the air. And so I didn't really know why that was the case, but eventually I learned that it was obviously just like any special education situation. It's challenging and we don't have all the answers. And when we don't have all the answers, we start to feel that those limitations and those self-limiting beliefs, and those self-limiting beliefs can start to really take over of good work that we're capable of doing and work that we're capable of having fun doing. And so for me, what actually happened was I realized that I was feeling this way, and I wanted to know that if there were other people out there that felt the same way that I did. And ended up diving into was this whole concept. And I became pretty, I wouldn't say obsessed, but I became very interested. And I read a ton, and I dug and I dug and I dug on the concept of self-efficacy, self-confidence. And so when I go around and I go to a school district and I go to a team, everything goes on these three pieces. Everything goes on these three pieces. And it's, in order to determine anybody's level of self-confidence, you have to focus on three things: your story, your why, and your purpose. And so your story, your why, and your purpose, they interact reciprocally to create a level of self-confidence. They can influence it positively and they can influence it negatively. And so your story is so important, and we as people get so disconnected from it because we don't get the opportunity to share it enough. That's why podcasts like this are awesome. That's why I have my podcast as well. That's why I created it, so that I could have these opportunities to connect with awesome educators like yourself. Even though I know it's a coincidence, your podcast dropped today, the Unlocking Unlimited Potential Stories podcast. When you texted me, I was like, oh my God, your podcast is actually dropping today.
Man.
Edutherapy, man. That's what it is, that ability to be able to talk through what's going on and meet these incredible people and talk to these awesome people has just been really what it's all been about for me. So that whole idea of story, learning someone's story, is so important. And as you understand your story, you're able to understand where you want to go, who you want to be, and who you really are. But you can't go to that place if you've lost connection to your story. So many educators lost connection to their story. I can tell you that's like an exercise we do in undergraduate school, where you write your education story about why you want to be a teacher. But that's something that should be something you're revisiting on a weekly basis, on a daily basis, having a paragraph, having a purpose statement on the classroom. In my classroom, on my wall, I have a decal. It's my purpose. It says what my purpose is, so that I can put it, it's shown to my students, but it's clear that this is what I'm doing every single day, because it's built by my story and my purpose. And together that reminds us of that why. So that's kind of like in a nutshell, as I go and I work with schools and I work with educators and I work with athletes, that's the work that we're doing. And it's been the craziest thing to me, because I was saying this before, I built this work for educators. I always had this idea of coaching as a coach inside of me and working with athletes. And all of a sudden now I had schools that were college teams that were reaching out and saying, can you come in and keynote? Can you come in and work with our captains? We want you to help them develop from a leadership standpoint so that their objectives are super clear. And what am I doing with these captains? I'm going in there and I'm saying, okay, what do you want to achieve this week? What is that one thing? And we're always starting with that simplicity of that idea to take it to a place of action. And if we don't have that focus, if we don't have that plan in place, none of it works. And so being able to work with educators, being able to work with athletes, has been like something that's been really mind blowing, but also something that's just been really rewarding about this process. And that's the whole idea of the concept and where it came from. And obviously I had about 25 different titles inside a notebook, and I just kind of, you know, I always came back to this idea of unlimited potential. And I know it's a mouthful, but it has to have this idea of, we have to unlock it, because the ultimate goal of all educators, of anybody who serves others, is to unlock unlimited potential in all whom they serve. So if our goal, when we work as a teacher, I think when I go into class every day, I want to be able to reach every single kid. That's the ultimate goal. I won't be effective every single day. I'm not perfect, But if we shoot for that goal, if we try to achieve that goal, if we put that up as the highest expectation, as the top of the pyramid, then we're going to be pushing ourselves to the next level. We're going to be making our schools a better place, full of students that imagine, that create, that innovate. And that's where I really, you know, I really believe that this work has taken me in the past few years. And selfishly, the work saved my life, because during the pandemic, this reflective time, this opportunity to go and meet all of these amazing people in social media and see that I wasn't alone, it was life-saving.
That's awesome, man. What a great story there. It really is a positive message. And I love how you break it down with those 3 points. I like it. I like the ingredient, hard freaking work, right? Bam. I got that here. That was good. Brandon, well, tell me about your writing style. You know, how did you do it? Did you sit quietly in a room? Did you go to a coffee shop?
Yeah.
Did you wake up at 5 a.m? Were you doing it at night? Tell me, how did you do it? So many people want to write a book. Yeah. And I'd love to ask authors how they did it.
It's a great question. I was in a race with time. My wife was pregnant. Woo. So I had a date in mind that I wanted the draft done by. And so, yeah, exactly. But what was cool is my writing process for me is I'm always a collector. I'm always collecting ideas. So I use reference points and material, and I connect to all different kinds of things. I connect to YouTube videos. I connect to the work of Tony Robbins, books that I've read by, you know, just amazing people that I love, Jack Canfield, you know, Les Brown, and so many others, being able to bring in that work. But also, I would sit with my notepad and I'd be like watching a movie, and all of a sudden I'm remembering and watching like Rudy. I love that movie, Rudy. And I'm like, that's a great part. I'm going to put that in here and I'm going to write. So I would just have my notepad and I'd be watching Karate Kid and I'd be like, Mr. Miyagi quote right there was perfect. And Mr. Miyagi, no better teacher than Mr. Miyagi. After, you know, Daniel-san has been bullied, he steps in and unlocks unlimited potential in him, you know. So looking for those ideas and those examples. And then my process was, I'm kind of like a hardcore long guy. Like I need like 3 or 4 hours. So I would find a place to go 3 or 4 hours and just start cranking. But I was always collecting. So yeah. I was collecting throughout. Like when I finished my dissertation, I pulled pieces from it and I said, I'm going to use this. Yeah. And then I'd start to go through like other work and other blogs and other writings and other posts and other things that I had done. And I just start to pull that in. Recently, though, now that I've launched the book, my writing process has changed because now I write a lot more consistently. So I have a newsletter, a free newsletter that I send out on the 1st and 15th of every month called the Something For You newsletter. Mm. And it's just free tips and resources based on 3 things, reflect, learn, and grow. I usually share, you know, something, a podcast that I listen to, or I share a reflection about something. I'll share resources, everything. It's free. Come, you can sign up on my website. But the point is in order to keep that content coming out on the 1st and 15th every month, I always think in my head, reflect, learn, grow. And I have a notepad in my phone. And so as I go through the week, I'll have like a moment and I'll just write it down. So I have an idea in there. So when I sit down to write, it takes me about an hour to write it, an hour to revise it and get it all ready. And so I have a system for that, so that on the 1st and 15th, I'm writing and I'm creating and I'm building content that I believe enhances, you know, the lives of others and the educators that are out there. And then, you know, the same with like your podcast, like that's now another reflective process. So like all of these things have like little systems along the way, but in order to sit down and write, I need to like really be there, but I also need to be able to collect a lot along the way and have a lot of pieces so that I can put the pieces of the puzzle all together. And having a running like Google Drive, for me to write a book, I start with the table of contents. I start with the chapter titles, and then I start moving stuff in. I start taking things from articles, reflections, things, drop it in. And then I'll go through and I'll start writing a little bit about it or start to move things around. And then all of a sudden the chapters are built and you have a book, you know, as it comes out. So that's my best advice for how to do that.
Yeah, I love it. I love how I'm collecting, getting to that quiet spot. That's really cool. And to hear you talk about it, I was in a similar way. I need that quiet spot. And I never use that word about collecting, right? But they're there, right? Dave Burgess talks about and teach like a pirate. Open your RAS, right? And now all those ideas are coming in.
Absolutely. The reticular activation system, man. I love it. I appreciate that.
There you go. Brandon, we're it's amazing how fast this goes. What was something you wanted to talk about that I didn't ask you?
Oof, man, we've talked about so many things, man. I'm just really excited to be continuing to get out there and being able to share the work with others that's happening. What's been really cool is actually being able to be in person again. So that's been really amazing. And so as that's happened, I'm actually able to meet people that I've seen for such long periods of time and connected with. And so it's been really rewarding to meet those people. And, you know, from a standpoint of, you know, just moving forward and continuing to go forward, I think that it's really important right now that people keep their foot on the gas and keep pushing forward the ideas and not get to a point where they're feeling like we're too comfortable to innovate. Because sometimes as we get comfortable, that fear starts to set in as like, okay, am I doing too much? Am I doing not enough? And I just want to make sure that everybody out there just continues to understand that there's going to be fear every single day, but we have to face everything and rise. And for me, I think that's what we need most right now. And I think it's also important to realize, and I think this is, you'll relate to this, because I think it's important that people understand it's, please continue to share. Please continue to post videos of yourself. Please continue to show positive content. Please continue to show positive material, helpful tips, resources, whatever it is. Continue to share your work out there. Please do not be worried or nervous of the way that you look. If you're sharing something that helps just one person, then you're doing amazing work. And it's not about the following. All you need is one person to listen, one person to hear you, one person to feel you. And you are going to find yourself in that state of happiness that you're looking for. So I think it's important. I feel like a lot of times there's a lot of educators out there, especially since I've kind of discovered this kind of like influencer type role, I say, I don't know what to call it, but like a content creator, an edupreneur. I don't, you know, call it what you want to call it. I'll call it that. So I think it's important. There's a lot of people who like think that like that's what they have to become, or that's what they have to have to share. We need more positivity out there in the education space. And so if you're one of those people who are out there and doubting it, and you're one of those people who are out there and not sure, kind of like on the fence of whether or not you should share information, you should share resources that will help others, my thing I'm going to say to you is do it. Just do it. I think that's what you need to do, because we need it. And that's basically me. I was so inspired by the work that I was seeing shared out there because I was looking for it. So keep looking for it. And it's very easy to look for the negative. It's very easy to look for the things that are not going right, but keep looking forward to the future with an eye on what can we continue to do better together to push forward.
What a great message, Brandon, right? We talked about gratitude to start, and really, that was great. There's a lot of people that don't think they're worthy. There's a lot of people that don't think they're good enough, unlocking their potential, but amen to that, right? It's not showing off, it's sharing. So I love that message.
Absolutely.
Cool, man. Let's roll. We're in, it's not overtime. What do you call it when the clock goes away? What do you call that in soccer?
Extra time.
Extra time. Here we go. This is extra time for rapid fire. This is penalty kicks. This is a sudden death here. Our rapid fire questions. I appreciate your message today. Here we go. Last book you read.
Ooh, that's a good one. Ed Milet, Power of One More.
Power of One More.
Amazing book.
Last movie you saw.
Ed Milet's the man. Oh, last movie I saw. That's a great question. I watched recently Goonies with my kids. Good movie.
Yeah, we recently just visited the town. They filmed it out in the Oregon coast.
Man, great cool. movie.
Favorite dish?
Oh, I would say for me, chicken parm, man.
Nice.
I mean, that's chicken parm.
Favorite place to travel?
So many places, but I will say Cape May or Cape Cod. I'll go either two capes.
The Cape. One's a little warmer than the other.
Yeah, absolutely.
The best school leaders are the best because?
They listen.
Ooh. You mentioned your newsletter. I love it. A journal, a blog you subscribe to?
Oh, that would be James Clear, Atomic Habits.
Love it, right? I just listened to Atomic
Habits. Such a good newsletter. His 3-2-1 newsletter is awesome.
His story was incredible there. How often do people tell you look like Ben Affleck?
Not often at all. But I'll take it. Yeah, incredible. Thank you.
A recent victory.
Man, we just won the 2022 Section 1 Class B Section 1 title. That was excellent. Second one in 4 years for our organization. So really an awesome, incredible thing. And we were undefeated. The entire season ended 18-0-2 because we lost on a penalty shootout. That last game ends as a tie. Mm. And we were ranked number one in the state for, I want to say, at least 4 or 5 weeks. So pretty incredible season.
Nice. I know a lot goes into it, but it's a lot goes into the coaching too. So kudos to you. 8 a.m. on Saturday morning, I feel, fill in the blank.
I feel cold because I'm going to be on a soccer field.
The wind on the soccer field blows through you a little more than other places.
Absolutely.
Yeah, those warm breezes in the summer. Best purchase under $100 that has had a great impact on your life.
Oh, that's a good one, man. That's a good one. I got to kind of look around the room. Last purchase under $20. God, I'm going to have to pass on that one because I don't think I've purchased anything under $20 in a while.
Yeah. If I, two words to describe yourself.
Creative and energetic.
One thing you're curious about.
I'm curious as to why kids out there have difficulty interacting using listening skills. And I'm curious how we can improve them to develop leadership and continue to, you know, understand that idea of working together and create that, you know, especially as a teacher of kids that are 10 and 11 years old.
Awesome point there. Something about Brandon Beck that people do not know about.
I play the guitar.
Wow.
I do. I was in a rock band in high school called Glitch, and we were a high school rock band.
Hey, man, playing guitar, playing music, it all goes with the creative juices there.
Absolutely. I play often in my class, often.
Yeah. Your information is below, your website, your social media there. What would be the best way for people to contact you?
Just hit on my website or hit me up on social media, brandonbeckedu.com. You can find everything there. You can find a way to contact me there. I'd love to be able to hear your story and learn more and hear what you thought about this show.
And your podcast, I was so grateful to be on there. Where can people find that?
Yeah, you can find it on any of the podcast platforms. Same as well. You can also find it on brandonbeckedu.com. You can check it out, the Unlocking Unlimited Potential Stories podcast. Basically, inspiring people sharing inspiring stories and just really awesome to hear this kind of like the stories that we don't really see on the surface. So incredible to be a part of.
Everyone's got one to tell, and kudos to you for giving that platform. Brandon, this was awesome. I got 2 pages of notes here. I loved it. Keeping your foot on the gas, the self-efficacy. Is there a quote that we can end with?
Oh, I love quotes. I've given you a couple, but A bend in the road is not the end unless you fail to make the turn. My man, Abraham Lincoln on that one.
Very nice. This was Brandon Becht, everyone. Continue on your journey. You have an awesome message, Brandon, and enjoy the World Cup, man.
Yes, go USA.
Is that like 4 in the morning? What's happening?
We're 5, 8, 11, and 2. We're good. 5 a.m., 8 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m. So we're
Wait a minute. You know all the times of the games? Those are
Yeah, absolutely. I know we're playing on Thanksgiving, too.
Let's go, USA. This is Brandon Becht, everyone. Check out his stuff. Get his book. You can find it everywhere, Unlocking Unlimited Potential. Brandon, it was an honor to have you. Stay on the line a second. There it is, Matt. There it is. I got my copy. I left it at home. Brandon, thanks, brother.
No problem.
Stay on the line a second. We're going to sign off here, friends, on show number 228. If I can help you in any way, don't hesitate to reach out at AndrewMorata21 on Twitter. Keep rolling, surviving, and thriving.